Psalms chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Let's go verse 1. I'm looking at the clock. I won't be before you long. It is 10:52. I'll be done by 1:49. That'll be quick. Come on, somebody. I'll be done when I'm done. Amen. Bless Psalms chapter 1. I'm kidding. Psalms chapter 1 reads as follows. Blessed is the man. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Oh, that's good stuff. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Oh, that's good stuff right there. Let me read that one more time. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. But I need you to catch this and don't miss this. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Father, we thank you for these encouraging words of Scripture this morning. Heaven, we just ask that you would get us to that place that the blessed man is to be in. So we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And thank God, man, just so many great things. And I before I shift into the word real quick, just thinking again on so many just great things God is doing here at this ministry. And there's a lot of blessed people here, speaking of blessed men and blessed people and all those that helped. And last Sunday when I was here, I did the altar call, and then I had Minister Ellis speak, and I thought he was here this morning somewhere, and he did an amazing job. Can we tell him? I don't know if he's here, but give him a round of applause. Oh, he's on the end. Amen. Come on, he did a great job. I heard him talking for a little bit, but I didn't really get to hear the message, but I know he did a wonderful, wonderful job. Amen. I'm going to go back and listen to it. Amen. And be encouraged. I like hearing good preaching and teaching. But we got a lot of blessed people here and a lot of blessed people. And so this message is understanding the journey of a blessed person. And somebody say, this is for me. This is for me because I am a blessed person. And that's the title of our message, is the journey of a blessed man. And I want all the ladies, don't get mad at me real quick. This is just a, blessed man, talking about mankind, all right? I want everybody to catch that. If you're next to a lady, she needs to know she is blessed. And if she is next to a man or has a man in her life, he needs to make her feel and understand she's blessed. Let all the ladies say amen right there. Ain't nobody tell y'all to get that loud. Come on, somebody. They threw a little bit on the end right there. But I like this because this text here, it takes us through a journey, really. In just three scriptures, it takes you through a journey. And the journey that it takes you through, it actually lands in verse 3. And once you get through the journey, it ends up in this place where it lets you understand. He said, let me read it again. He says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I want you to make sure you catch verse 3, because verse 3 is really the journey of a blessed man. It is the end game that God has in mind for his people who are blessed. And what I like about it, it's not that this is something you shout about because, hey, I'm blessed, I got a house. You understand? I got a car. That's not what this is. I want you to make sure what you see is you don't just see a blessing, you see a lifestyle of blessing. See, it's one thing to just get, where you anybody ever get happy, you get something and you're like, man, that's amazing. God blessed me with a brand new house. But I want you to catch the text, because there's a key word in here, and it is steadiness and consistency in verse 3. He says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What that means is that when a tree is by water, it's always being nourished. It's always being fed. Its roots are down in the ground. It's healthy. It's strong. It's not cracking. It's not brittle. It is healthy, and it's in a good place. And then it goes on to say, he says, and bring forth its fruit in its season. Meaning that, watch what it says here. It says, and this says, bring forth fruit in its season, comma, whose leaf shall not wither. That literally means that you won't have a moment of God doing something good, but it's a lifestyle of walking in victory in your life. Then he goes on to say, if you don't get the point right there, he goes on to say, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. And what I want you to catch, this is not a blessing. This is a place that you can get in your life with God where you are winning in every area of your life. Okay, I'm going to come get some of you because this is, and I want you to understand this, because too many times we wrestle in life so much that we don't think that you can get into a place. Listen to the text. This is not you get blessed or you got debt paid off. This is not that you were healed. This is walking into a place in your life where you are winning in your life. See, now I'm going to make sure you understand. This does not mean you got a promotion. This means every area of your life, you are winning in every area of your life. It's almost that it shifts you to a mindset of expectation that I am going to win in every area of my life. And what we see is a consistency and a steadiness from God that he begins to bring you into a place where you're victorious, where you're healthy, where you're prosperous financially, emotionally, mentally, that in every area of your life, you can get to a place in God where you're winning in every area. Okay, I'm going to wrestle with you for a minute. It's because what we need to understand does not mean that you don't have fights. It means you win every battle you fight. I'm going to say it one more time. Does not mean that you don't fight, because that's why some of you are like, hey, I'm hesitant to shout. It's, you know why you're hesitant? Because you're fighting something. But that fight means you're going to win. Every battle you fight, you will overcome it. You will win. There's a place you can get in God where you are winning on every level in your life. When you go through hell in your marriage, you guys will come through and you will win the victory. You will go through things in your body, but you'll fight and you'll get to a place where when sickness comes, you are guaranteed sickness will go. You'll see where your money gets low. God says, no, you're not living like that. You're going to win in your finances. There is a place where I'm telling you that the Bible just said that we are winning in every area of your life. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm going to be in that place. See, I like this. I like this because this is not some hocus pocus right here. This is the word of God that says he shall be like, not he maybe be like. Watch what verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted. Then it says that they shall bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. This is not some hocus pocus. This is not some we hope you get there. God says there is literally a place as a believer where, again, and I got to be redundant till we get this, that you've got to understand as a Christian, as a believer, as a blessed person, that there actually is a place in God where you can be winning in every area of your life. Right here up on earth, not talking about on the sweet by and by when I get to heaven, but as a blessed person, you can live and win in every area of your life. And it's hard to preach people there because we go through hell so much. But what I'm trying to do is get you to understand, I'm not making this up. This is in your scripture. God is steady. Watch what it is. It is a consistency that we see in verse 3. We don't see one area of blessing. You see a totality of something that is consistent in this blessed person's life. And I believe that every child of God should have an expectation to get there. If you don't have an expectation, do you know the God you serve? If you don't understand who Jehovah Jireh is, maybe that's why you may wrestle with what I'm talking about. If you don't understand who El Shaddai is, maybe that's why you're wrestling with what I'm talking about right now. If you don't know who Jehovah Shalom is, maybe that's why, if you don't know who Elohim is, but I'm telling you, this is God who hung the sun and put the stars in place and blew light. I'm telling you, he is talking to the blessed people and saying there is a place in him where you can be winning when you're 20, you can be winning when you're 80, He didn't put an age limit on it. He didn't put a time frame on it. He didn't say when you get 70, everything's going to go bad. He didn't say you're going to be, let me be careful. He said it's going to work all the days of your life. Somebody got to turn the air down. It's getting hot up in here. Come on, somebody. Either I'm preaching good or it's hot. Somebody check that air for me. Come on. Because I need somebody to understand that you've got to have an expectation that there is a place in God. This is not some happy preacher asking you to give some money. I'm literally trying to say, you do this, God. No, I'm giving you a word right now. That God says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God says, that's a healthy place for a tree. Because your roots are going down and you're constantly being fed and you're constantly being nourished and the tree is strong and green and prosperous. And he says, and when the leaves are green, he says, your leaves will not wither, meaning you should not expect that it's going to change. The problem with us is that every time we're blessed, we always look for something to come and take away what God has done for us, meaning, yes, I'm healed, but when is the next shoe going to drop? It's time to get that mentality out of your mind and watch what the scripture says, your leaves will not wither, meaning it's not going to change for you. The leaves are always going to be blessed. It's always going to be prosperous. And the devil has tricked many of us to believe that in your life, when something good happens, it's only going to last for a short time. Because you've been used to that cycle of life. Every time you get to a place in your finances, it's like, man, it's I'm back where I started. Every time the marriage is right, man, here we go again. Every time something with the health, man, oh, I got to go back again. I'm trying to tell you, you're going to shift. Come one way or another. If I got to boot you there, if I got to pull you there, if I got to tag you there, if I got to drag your butt there, we're going to get to the place where you look over your life, your leaves will not wither. You're going to prosper in every area of your life. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're dealing with. And when the devil shows up, you say, that's all right. I'm going to win this fight. I don't know what the doctor's going to tell you, but you're going to say, that's fine. But I'm a winner in God. I'm a place in my life where if that's my diagnosis, it's going to be defeated. If that's my situation, I'm going to overcome it. But my mindset is, I understand there's a place in God where I win in every area of my life. God help me. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Man, that's good stuff. Because when God is telling it to us, it's almost like we miss what he's saying. Because we're so used to a blessing. Once a month, or once a year. We're used to like maybe two in a good year. Come on, somebody, maybe three phenomenal things happen. But now I'm talking about winning in every area of your life. I'm talking about when you get ready to start a business, it's just gonna happen. When you get ready to do something, you say this thing gonna work out for my life. See, we're so used to being things don't work out for us that we don't really believe that this is a real place in God. Because we've been through sickness, we've been through disease, we've been broke, we've gone through it so much that we almost forget who the God is you serve. And sometimes we need scriptures like this to get us to understand that anything that goes on in your life, those attacks mentally, anxiety, panic, fear, any of those things that happen, those are all just a flat-out lie from the devil to get you off track from understanding there is a place in your life where you're going to win in your mind. That's probably the greatest place to win right there is just to win in your head. Come on, somebody. The greatest battle is in your thought process where fear comes and drama arises and fake things and the enemy puts propaganda. The enemy, see, he's real good at propaganda. He's real good at getting you to believe fake stuff. Come on, they always talk about fake news. You got fake news in your head all the time. I'm sick. Oh, I'm going to die. You even read the Bible and see how well, he raised him from the dead. You don't even catch the raised part. You just catch the dead part. And that's called fake news in your head. Forget Donald Trump. Fake news is when the devil comes in your mind. It ain't CNN. It's when the devil is talking to you and get you away from the blessed place in God. That's fake news right there. I came to tell you that there's some real news that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So watch this. This actually is a journey of a blessed man. And what I want you to catch is that it is not just a blessing. Here's what I need you to pull from it before I move. That it is a steadiness in God. It is a steadiness, a place where there's a steadiness of you just winning. God help me. I like that right there. It feels good to understand that God wants me, desires me to be in a place where I'm winning. And so understand this, that the Bible even gives us a little bit of understanding when it says the kingdom of heaven, he says, my will be done on earth. That right there kind of supports the scripture right here. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say when you get to heaven. He says, I want you to live on earth the same way people are living in heaven. He says, my will be done on earth. Watch what he says, as it is in heaven. Means a couple of things, but one of those things means the same way it is in heaven is the same way I want you to be right here in your life on earth. And if you ever think you're going to get to heaven and lose and have a losing mentality, the devil is alive. When you get to heaven, it's just win, 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 win. And God said, I'm not waiting for you to win when you get to heaven. I want you to start walking in your heaven role right here on earth. I want you to start, he says, my will for your life is what is going on in heaven. And ain't nobody losing in heaven right now. Ain't nobody broke in heaven right now. Ain't nobody sick in heaven right now. There's no drama in heaven. There's no anxiety. There's no panic attacks in heaven. So if God says, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, why are you not living out the will of heaven right here on earth? That's shifting into winning. Tell somebody I'm about to shift. Well, here it is, here it is, here it is. Catch this. So there is a consistency. There's a steadiness because in heaven, there's steady winning in heaven. And God says, I want your life on earth to move to a place of steadiness of my goodness. Everybody say steadiness. There is a steadiness, a consistency of fruitfulness in your life. God help me. And here's how the journey. So let me make sure you catch this. This is where the journey of the blessed man takes us to. But here's what we got to catch. Is that's not where it begins. It ends there, but it doesn't begin there. Because, and that's the part you need to understand, there is an end game that it ends there. The journey of the blessed man, he gets there, but he didn't begin there. It was a journey in these short three verses. The Bible says in verse 3, we miss it. It starts out in verse 1. Watch how verse 1 starts. It's amazing. It starts out, blessed is the man. Everybody say, what's it says? I'm getting ready for some good stuff right now. He says, blessed is the man. I'm waiting on him to say, blessed is the man. His life is going to be awesome. Blessed is the man who's healthy in every area of his life. Blessed is the man who's planted by the tree of water. It does not start with that when he starts talking about the blessed man. I saw the end game in verse 3, but he didn't start in verse 3. He starts in verse 1. He lets you know I'm talking about a blessed man. And then he begins to talk about the blessed man, and he says, blessed is the man who walks not. Okay, hold on, God. Why are we talking about a blessed man who's not something? Let's talk about the blessed man and what he is. Okay. And what you need to know, really, and I'm going to be short here tonight. I'm already on my first point, which to understand how to get to that journey of the blessed man is the first thing you got to do is you got to know who you're not. Catch the journey. In order to get to that verse 3 of the blessed place, it's not just a blessed place. I want you to understand, it's a steady place of winning. And the first thing he starts with the blessed man is he says, hey, you're a blessed man. He said, blessed is the man. And he says, who does not? Okay, stay with me. He begins to unravel and take him on a journey before he gets to verse 3. He says, your destination, you know what it's going to be of a blessed man, but I need you to see how he gets there. He starts out with telling him first, he lets him know, you're a blessed man. Somebody say, I'm blessed. But before he starts unpacking stuff, he begins to let you know before you can ever get to that place of steadiness and consistency of fruitfulness in your life from God, you got to know who you're not. And why this is so amazing is it's almost as if the writer, he starts out almost like going backwards instead of going forwards. It's almost like in my mind when I see this, you're a blessed man who's not, it's almost like diving off a diving board, but not going head first, but going feet first. It's almost like we're going backwards into this place because you didn't start off saying the blessed man who's XYZ blessed. You start off by saying the first thing that people must know, it's about not who you are, but it's about who you're not. Because we have got to learn, and here's what the scripture is teaching us. We have got to understand and learn how to navigate through life of who we're not before we can ever start dealing with who we are. He says, you're a blessed person, but before I get to it, the path to 3 is I need you to navigate of understanding who you're not. It's good right here. Because many times in our life, we always try to figure out who we are. But you need clarity of who you're not before you can engage who you are. Because too many times the first thing people, what's my purpose? Who am I? What am I doing? Wait, let's find out who you're not. So when you get there and God can reveal who you are, you won't have confusion. You'll have clarity. I know I'm not this. God help me. And we're always trying to figure out who you are. What am I to do? But let me tell you, baby Bubba, you need to pause for a moment. And you need to understand what God is saying is you need to begin to learn how to navigate through life and begin to know who you're not before he's ever going to reveal to you who you are. Touch your neighbor and say, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. See, see, this part of the journey, I believe, is the hardest part of the journey. Because it's almost like God is telling him, you're a blessed man, but I need to start undoing some things in your life. I need you to unbecome some stuff before you ever become something. So there's almost like he begins to put verse 1 up there for us. He almost begins to takes this blessed man, because it says he's blessed, and then he says, he begins to tell him, who walks not, nor are you this, nor does this. And it's almost like he begins to tell him, you need to shed some things off your life and have clarity that it's no longer you. And it's almost like there is a shedding process in a blessed person. See, and here's what it also tells us. This is what I really like. See, what it tells us, one of the first foremost things it tells us is that a blessed man always starts in the wrong place. I knew y'all didn't like that. Somewhere in my notes I probably put, they're not going to like that. It's because he does not start with his life in order. Because it says, a blessed man, do not walk like that. Well, why are you telling me that if I'm already in a place where I'm not walking like that? So that lets me know that sometimes, although you're blessed, the struggle in your life is normal. Okay. Meaning that when you're blessed, you've got to understand that a lot of times blessed people start out of order because they have to go through the who I'm not to become who I am. So when I get saved, I don't start with who I am. I have to deal with who I'm not. I have to unbecome some stuff before God starts dealing with who I'm becoming. And we've always jumped out of order as believers, and we tried to get saved and say, who am I, without ever unbecoming who you were, and you bring who you were to who you are, and now you got a hell of a mess in your life because there's no clarity of who you really are because you never unbecame before you came. Touch your neighbor and say, are you with him this morning? And the one thing I can pull from this scripture is he takes a blessed man. Y'all pray for your boy. Amen. It literally was on its way out. Don't matter what color. This is for every man. But here it is. Because what God is waiting on is before God is going to show you a steadiness, a fruitfulness in your life. Because that's what we end in verse 3. It is a steadiness of fruitfulness coming from your life. Some of you are fruitless right now. And that's frustrating. But God says in verse 3, that is a place of consistency of fruitfulness. But before I can take you into fruitfulness on a steady level, not once a year hit and miss and get it here and get it there, he says, I need you to unbecome stuff before I can take you into a level and a place where if there is constant and steady fruitfulness coming from your life. And this is what we've got to understand. Before God's going to reveal who you are, and take you to that place of steadiness. Everybody say steadiness. He needs you to unbecome. Let me give you some scripture on this. See, if you ever remember when God wrestled with this man named Jacob in the Bible. You guys remember that? He wrestled with Jacob. In the Bible says he wrestled with him. And many times we focus like we do on ourselves that when he wrestled with Jacob, it was so he can become Israel. But when we read Genesis 32, verse 18, if you can put it up there for us, please. In Genesis verse 32, verse 18, he actually says something that supports where we're going in Scripture. And he says to him, not who you are. Watch what he says. He says, you shall no longer be. Before he ever says, you are going to be Israel. He says the whole wrestling was not for you to become, but for you to understand who you no longer are. God help me. We have seen this wrestling so Jacob can become Israel. No, God says, I wrestled so you begin to understand who you no longer are. Because I need there to be clarity with you that you're not this person anymore, that you have the understanding of who you are. And see, this is what we must understand. God wants us to navigate through who we're not, church. Hear me very carefully. He needs you to deal with and walk through, because many times this is the main issue in Christianity, is trying to figure out your identity, whether it's in God, how you're living your life. I can't be saved because what I did. God's not with me because what I'm going through. And we begin to not really know who we are as a believer. And the reason why we don't know who we are is because we never dealt with first who we are not. And once I get to a place in my life where I know once and for all, I'm not this. I don't care what happens to me. I'm not that. And whatever goes on in my life, I can't nobody. You get to a place of clarity. I know whatever. If I'm broke, I'm really not even broke. If I'm sick, I'm really not even sick. If I'm going through and if I sin, I'm really not even a sinner. Once you can get clarity on who you are, God can reveal on who you're really supposed to be when you get clarity on who you're not. And church, this is the hardest process. This is probably the longest process, is because so many of us have so much that we have to shed off our life. And we have to unpack things. And what God is saying is you have to learn how to navigate through the process of who you're not. And for many of us, that's why we're stuck right now and we're very unfruitful in our life. Because we have tried to jump and the church has preached us, you know, to purpose and all that. But somebody needs to really get you to understand there is a process. And it starts with who you're not. And so we've got to understand that process is significant to you going forward. And what did I say earlier? I said really it lets us know that, if you could put verse 1 back up there of Psalms 1, it lets us know that in this process, it tells us a few things. Is one, when you look at the scripture, it says, who walks not in the counsel, meaning the wisdom of the ungodly, nor stands. This is a steadiness of someone's life right now, where you're steady in the wrong place. The same way verse 3 was steady with God's fruitfulness, this is steady in unfruitfulness. It says, he walks not in the counsel, the wisdom of the ungodly, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners. Path just means sinners aren't going nowhere in this life, period. Meaning you're not going anywhere. And he says, nor in the seat of the scornful. Scornful are people who talk. Always scorning, talking, but ain't doing nothing. And he deals with this, and watch the pattern. He says, bless is a man. Watch what he says. He says that you don't get stuck in this consistency. Or this steadiness. Because if you watch what happens, there's three key words in there. It says, who walks, stands, and sits. There is a steadiness and there is a thing that goes on. He says that, listen, you have to learn how to navigate. And when you sit, that means that becomes who you are. You're no longer moving through it. You have taken a position in it. It says, who walks, then watch the progression. It says, who walks, nor stands in it. And now you're walking through it. You can keep going, but some people stand and start enjoying it. And then if you stand too long, you just take a seat. And then now it becomes your lifestyle. And you become in a land of unfruitfulness. And God says, I need you not to stay in it. I need you to navigate through it until you get out of it and get to the place I've called you to be. I hope y'all tracking with me this morning. And see, so understand this is going to help you. You remember Proverbs 24 and 16? This gives me understanding. In Proverbs 20 and 16, it talks about how a righteous man, I like this, may fall 7 times. But the Bible says, and he rises back up again. This helps me, gives me a little bit of peace, and it gives me understanding, because now I understand. It didn't say, watch what it says. It says a righteous man. I make sure y'all don't miss what you read. It says, everybody say a righteous man. This means a child of God right here. This means a blessed person right here. This does not say a Christian or a person trying to become righteous. This is a righteous man, a blessed person, a sold out for Jesus person falls 7 times. Now me, I just, I'm glad it's there. I ain't gonna lie to you, but your boy ain't gonna lie. But in reality, my Christianism says that it really should say someone who's trying to really walk with God falls 7 times. But it does not say that. It says for a righteous man, a blessed person. That same one in Psalms 1, he says that blessed person falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. I think it's Donnie McClurkin, my man said, and gets back up again. And but why does he fall 7 times? Why does a blessed man fall 7 times? Is really here's why. It's because he starts in the wrong place. He doesn't start in verse 3. He starts in verse 1. And when you're navigating through that, you will fall trying to get to verse 3. Because the blessed man doesn't start in order. He starts out of order. And so while you're navigating through stuff, you have the tendency to fall. Can I even give you? Let me. Can I take y'all deep for just a minute? Let me just be a theologian for you and help you. Do you actually know in the original writing that this text is got a word wrong that changes everything? In the original writing of the scripture does not even read this way. If you go to the original writing, somebody say, this is why you come to church. It does not say, for a righteous man may fall 7 times. That word may is nowhere in the original Hebrew. Do you know how it reads in the Hebrew? It says, for a righteous man falls 7 times. It's not even may in there. That tells me that he didn't say you might fall. He says you will fall. This is why I trip over people who, you know, when you first come to God, you're in depression because you sinned. You are, God almost expects you to sin. Because the Bible says, for a righteous man falls 7 times. Really, it's not even may. And the reason why it's like that, and the thing is, there is growth, there is progress. But remember, this is a journey before we get to verse 3. And God says, you start out a place, and when you start out a place, you have a tendency to fall. But I thank God when he says fall, he says he rises back up again. This is why he's righteous. This is why he's blessed, because something in him says you can't stay there. Get your butt back up again. You're beginning to learn that's not who I am. You're unbecoming it. But while you're unbecoming it, you still can fall to it because you're not fully out of it yet. Until you unbecome before you come, you will struggle. And there's times, I know the person next to you looks really saved, they smell really saved, but I can almost guarantee one thing up in here, because I pastor all y'all, that y'all done failed about 100 times in 2019 alone, that some of y'all done some hideous stuff that don't nobody look around, don't nobody in here know about. You done said some stuff, you were dealing with stuff, you drunk, smoked, did this, went back to that, because you are shedding some stuff off. And I'm so thankful the Bible says, and Donnie McClurkin says, but we get back up again. We don't stay in the miry clay. We get back up again. When you cuss your husband out, you get back up again. When you say something crazy, you get back up again. This is why you can't count us out. This is why when I'm down, I don't ever count a Christian out. What is wrong with you? Why do we count believers out? Have you not read the word of God? We have this ability to get back up again. The Bible says it's just something in us that causes us to rise. Let people count you out when you're down. But you need to know, when you are unbecoming, you're coming back, baby. I'm coming back better than I was. Don't count it out. Where you are, it's not where you're going to be. You're in the process of unbecoming. Don't think you're going to stay there. Don't sit. Don't stand. Keep it moving and get back up again. Slap your neighbor. Say, get back up again. Look at your other neighbor. Say, get back up again. This is why. Don't you give up on life right now. Don't you even take your life, because there's another get up in you. Don't think that that's the end game. It can't get any better. You will rise up out of the ashes. You will get back up out of your struggle. Why are you still down? It's because the devil has got you thinking about who you are and who you haven't become. But you got to unpack this thing and realize, I'm not who I am. I'm not what I failed to. I'm not what I became. You've got to understand who you're not so you can get back up again. See, people who stay down think that who you're not is who you are. And when you steady, and that's all the devil wants you to do, is to wrestle with who you're not. Because as long as you're wrestling with who you're not, you'll never enjoy who you're supposed to be. And that's why the Bible says we get up, because you look down and say, that's not me. You begin to learn, that's not me. I'm unbecoming. Get back up here 7 times. Nope, that's not me. I'm unbecoming. And it's a process. And this is the process, not of someone trying to be righteous. This is the process for a righteous man. Oh, God. This. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to get back up. We have to learn, church, how to shed the stuff off. Because we have got to get to a place where we are seeing the fruitfulness in our life on a steady level. Not here and there, now and again. No. The Bible just told me that there's a place in God where I can see steady fruitfulness in my life. So don't settle for not seeing steadiness in your life. You've got to go through unbecoming. some of you may be in that process. And that is that's probably the longest process. But the good thing about it is once you get through it, you're going to have clarity now on who you are. And the reason why people don't have clarity on who you are is because, again, you never unpacked who you're not. And when you come to God, the first thing we need to start doing is not trying to find out who you are. You need to know I'm saved, I'm born again, and then after that, I need to start learning who I'm not. Because all these years, that's who I've been. And now you need to get that, because what happens, you'll get the clarity to move in the phase. Now, let's go to verse 2. Here's the second thing. Is now when you begin to unpack who you're not, when you begin to shed, and when you get to that place in your life where honestly, you have to, you begin to, you know, you unpack it, now you got to become consistent. See, once you, once you unpack who you're not and you get clarity, now you can become steady and consistent in your walk with God. All right, go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, go back to Psalms 1 real quick, because verse 2 says, but his delight, after he goes through all verse 1, then the second step on this journey is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay, catch this. Meaning, he's happy in the things of God. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Watch how redundant the scripture is. He's happy, his delight, he's in the word. He understands the word of God, meaning he's hearing God. And then he goes on to say, and in his law, he doesn't just meditate. He meditates day and night. Watch the repetitiveness of the text. In his law, it says his delight. He's happy to do it. He's all the time there. He's delightful about it. In the law. And then it says, in his law, he meditates. So there's a redundance of what's right before our eyes, that he's happy about the law. He's enjoying it. So we know he's in it. Then he says, in his law, he's meditating. And not only is he meditating sometimes, but he's consistent with God now, day and night. He shifted, he navigated, he unpacked, he became some things. Now he's consistent with God. He's now steady with God. But you can't become steady with God until you first unpack who you're not. And this is the whole trick of the enemy, is to keep you unsteady with God, keeps you wrestling with yourself. The reason why many of us are not consistent and steady with God in our walk is, the going back to number one, is because you're wondering, why can I never stay steady with God? It's because you're still dealing with who you're not. But once you pass that, you have got to learn to be steady. You've got to learn to be consistent. Because here's what, when you're consistent with God, watch this, it's a sign of spiritual maturity. It's the first sign of spiritual maturity is when you're consistent with God. One of the things, and not only is it that, but really it's a bridge that's going to help you get to all the desires and dreams in your life. Because you cannot seek steady fruitfulness from God, which that's what we all desire, until you're now first consistent with God. Salvation is there. You're going to heaven. Got that. We're not dealing with that. You're a child of God. We got that. But now, if you become consistent with God in your walk and in your relationship with God, then we'll begin to see God consistent with us in the rewards of fruitfulness. And the reason why your life is so unfruitful is because you're so unsteady. You're so inconsistent. And here's what the enemy knows that we don't know. And the reason why you're not consistent is because you haven't unpacked, number one, is you're still wrestling with who you are. So stay with me. Many of us, you know, don't raise your hand and shout amen, because we're going to know it's you. But here's the thing. Many of us have seasons where we love God. Many of us have seasons where we trust God. Many of us have seasons where we're in the house of worship. Many of us have seasons where we say, I'm going to be faithful in tithe and giving. Many of us have seasons, and that's a problem, because it shouldn't be a season. It should be, this is who I am. And this is part of what he's saying. His law, he delights in it. He's steady. In his law, he meditates. And not only does he meditate day and night, he now has become where he's consistent and steady with God in his relationship. And most of us can tell and witness why we're not steady and why some of us come to church for 3 months, we're on fire, and then we fall away, and then we have a prayer life, and then we fall away, and then we're saying, oh, I'm a tithe, and then we fall away. It's because you start wrestling with that old person again. You start dealing with my old issues again. Not just issues, but you start going back to, well, am God, am I saved? Well, I messed up, and maybe God don't love me. I'm going to run from church for 3 months. Well, I don't have enough money. And then you start dealing with the who you're not, and then the enemy knows this is the best trick to keep you out of being consistent with God. Here's what you got to understand. Watch this. The enemy is already defeated. Let me make sure you get this. I need to make sure it's in your spirit. Okay, so I need you to catch this. You need to know the devil is already defeated in every area of your life. Can't change, won't change. Jesus already took that on. When he already, listen, that's why we come on Resurrection Sunday. Churches are packed all across the globe. Because we're celebrating not just his resurrection, but we're celebrating the devil is defeated. There is no going back and undoing that. It's already done. And who knows this better than all of us? He does. He does this understanding, man, I'm already jacked. I'm already defeated. So how do I get them to miss the steadiness of the fruitfulness of God in their life? He says, here's how I do it. Because I'm defeated. Here's how I'm doing it. I'm going to get them to be unsure and wrestle the rest of their life with who they're not even. And his trick is not that he begins to get you to think, soon as you get sickness in your body, oh, God, I'm going to die. I got sickness. And what happens? You fade away from God, and you're not consistent with God because you're now dealing with who you're not. You never got clarity before you got here that no matter what comes in my life, I'm healed. I got a word from heaven. I'm healed. He told me by his stripes, I'm healed. I know who I'm not. I'm not sick anymore. And so what happens is when you hit a bump in the road financially, oh, I've been giving, I've been tithing, I've been doing all this, and now I'm broke. No, now you're wrestling with who you're not. And now you stop doing it, and the devil's sitting back like, I'm already defeated. I'm just playing games with you to get you to go back and forth with who you're not anymore, and I'm trying to get you to stay out of the consistency of the fruitfulness of God in your life by having you deal with who you're not the rest of your life. And what we do is at Genesis 32:18, where God was wrestling with Jacob, some of you are doing that, wrestling with who you're not all your life. Some of you will die wrestling with who you're not. Well, I did this, and I did, oh, man. And the devil's sitting there like, man, they don't even know I'm already defeated. I got them chasing ghosts in their head. They're still dealing with who God delivered them from. They're still dealing with who God jumped up out of the grave for. They are dealing with the foolishness of life. And the devil knows this is the only, and what he understands is that God is looking for steadiness out of us now. We have got to be steady once we navigate through who we're not. That's the only way to become consistent. And what I've noticed with people is when they take those vacations from God in their walk, whether it's in church, their worship, their prayer life, their giving, whatever it is, when they take those sabbaticals with God, and then they show up 8 months later, which we thank God that y'all, you, whoever it is, you show up, keep coming back, because you get back up again. But you've got to get to a place where you stop letting the devil play with you. He's keeping you out of verse 3 because now you're unsteady, and if you're unsteady, the fruitfulness in your life is unsteady. And that's the only thing he wants is to keep you distracted so you never get to verse 3 where you begin to see the steadiness and the consistency of the fruitfulness of God, because all night you're wrestling with who you're not. All night, oh, I can't go to church. No, go to church if you mess up, because the Bible says the righteous will fall, but that ain't you. Get yourself up and realize that ain't even me, and get back to the house of God and stay consistent with God. We've got to understand. That's why the Bible says, you remember in Revelation 3:15, I believe it's Revelation 3:15, 3:16, throw it up there for me. The Bible says, God, I like this because God, he says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. What God is saying is this person, watch what he says, and watch what God says. He says, I know you. Here's what you need to know about God. He know you. I don't even know why we try to act like stuff. Why don't y'all come to church when y'all mess up? It ain't like at home he don't know you there. I mean, it's, you know, oh, man, I'm gonna go here. I can't go around them people. God is everywhere. Might as well come on in and be consistent with him. People act like if they don't come to church, they're hiding from God. Here's the thing. God says, I know your works. I know you. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. What does that mean? He says, you're not consistent. You're unstable. He says, you're not stable with me. You're not consistent with me. He says, you're back and forth wrestling with who you're not. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. You can't make up your mind. You're inconsistent. You love me. You trust me. Now you don't. God's good. No, he ain't. I'm confused. He wants me blessed. I'm tithing. No, he don't. I'm going to church. I love him. No, I messed up. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. Watch what he says. He says, I wish you were cold or hot. He says, make up your mind. Watch what God didn't say, I wish you were hot. He says, I wish you were cold or hot. People say, well, why does God say that? That means he don't want me to just be on fire for him? No, what he says, I want you to be steady. I want you to be consistent. It's not that I don't want you to be hot. Or God, he said, no, I want you just to make up your mind in your life and be stable wherever you are with me. Either you're with me or you're not with me, but that's up to you. I don't want you playing with me. I want you to make up your mind and be consistent in your life. Because in order for a believer to get there, go to James 1:8. Actually, give me verse 6. Let me put it together. We got to go. James 1:6-8. Watch what it says, because here we are. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is, I love the Bible. Let him, why would we ask God something if we're not asking with faith? Why are you even telling me this? I'm talking to God. I should have faith when I go to God. He says, when you ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. He said, that's somebody who's not consistent in your head with me. Verse 7. And he says, tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he receives anything from the Lord. Let not that man suppose. He says, you can't get to verse 3 when you're not consistent in your head with me. Many of us are wondering, why God, why am I not seeing the fruitfulness in my life? God, what? See, this is why I don't come to church. See, I'm not saying, here's the problem. That's why you're not seeing the fruitfulness, is because you're unsteady with God. And soon as something don't go your way, you start thinking, well, God don't love me, I knew it. And now you're dealing with who you're not. And at the same time, that's the very reason God said you're not being fruitful, is because you're not seeing the consistency, is because in your mind, you're not consistent with me. Verse 8, watch what he says. I'm teaching good this morning. Verse 8, he goes, he is double-minded. This person we're talking about, God says, listen, you are double-minded, and not only you're double-minded, you're inconsistent. Now, guess what? The rest of your life, you're unfruitful. You're unstable. Maybe you're blessed here, but you won't be blessed for 5 more years because you're unstable, not that I'm unstable. And this is what the devil knows, that if he gets you to start doubting who you, doubting who God is in your life, and he gets you wrestling and doubting, am I really not that person? Am I really a Christian? Does God really? You start dealing with who you're not again. And what happens when you do that, listen to me, church, you begin to miss the blessings and the fruitfulness of God in your life. Verse 3 is fun to shout about. Verse 3, man, it makes you want to run through a wall and get excited, but you have to understand something, that there has got to be consistency, not just out of God, it starts with you. God will get you saved. We're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a done deal when you give your life to Christ. We're talking about being fruitful in this earth and in this life. And the reason you're not seeing the fruitfulness that you desire from God is because soon as hell breaks out, you go back and you're wrestling with who you're not again. Anybody ever see yourself sin and then you're like, oh, man, you start running from God. And then why are you running from God? You're really running and wrestling. When you run from God, you're running back to who you're not. And then it stops you from running into verse 3. And then you're wondering, why am I in and out? And why do I not see in my household the blessings of God in my life on a regular basis? Because you're sitting there like, God, I'm waiting on a promise. No, you're not. Your promise is waiting on you to be consistent. Your promise is waiting on you to be steady. Your promise is waiting on you to stay the course with God day in and day out. And the devil has played with us so much in our life, in our marriage, in our minds, in our health, in our money, and we begin to question who you're not at the same time trying to figure out who you are. No one's ever called you to figure out who you're not and who you are at the same time. You got to deal with and get over who you're not so you can finally get clarity on who you are. And when you get clarity on who you are, you'll finally be consistent with God. And when you're consistent with God, then you shift into verse 3. And when you shift into verse 3, really what we see in verse 3, what we see, go back to verse 3. Let's get our happy, put our happy verse up there again. What we see here is really what verse 3 is, which is my third point, is really to get verse 3, it's not that it's just a place God has for us. I need you to catch this. This is not just a place. Verse 3 is not just, this is where I am. It's actually the reward of being consistent. It's a reward of being steady. It's actually a reward. It's not just a place. It is the reward of the blessed man in verse 1 who navigated through who he's not, and then he became consistent. And when he became consistent and he became steady and he became steady, then God says, now I'm going to reward you that you're going to see steady fruitfulness from me because you became steady with me. So verse 3 is really just the reward of verse 2. It's a place in God, but you don't get there until you become steady with God. And if you're not willing to become steady with God, you don't get the reward of fruitfulness in your life like you want. Because God says, that is a steady place with me. See, I think we used to talk about when we were young. Didn't we used to date and we say we're going steady? I think that's what it was. Okay, y'all with me? Okay, so mean we're exclusive. You understand? And I want to get to a place where I want to see the steady winning in my life. See, you can be in God and you can get blessings here and there all the time. There's certain things you can do all the time, and you can just get oh, there's one. There's a door open right there. There's certain things. Certain moments you come in, you get in the right service, you do sow the right seed, you do the right thing. God's going to honor it. But then you wonder, why is there a drought now? It's because you're not steady with him. Verse 3 is the reward of verse 2. And verse 2 is a reward of overcoming verse 1. And so you've got to navigate through all of it in order to get to verse 3. And what I discover is that one of the things that the devil knows is he knows the word better than us. It's a shame, but it's true. And he understands I don't have to just, you know, do all this devil stuff. All I need you to do is not to be able to get the reward of verse 3, and you'll live a jacked up life until you die. People will preach you on Sunday about how good God is. And you'll get happy and go home and be like, this ain't working. And then you get real happy, and then you say, man, I know I'm healed. And you go home, you look in the mirror, and you go to the doctor, and you're like, I'm sick. You're wrestling with who you're not. And then my money gets funny, and then what happens is this pattern of James 1:8, you're unstable the rest of your life, and you're wondering, is God real now? No, God's been saying the whole time, I just need you to be steady with me. I just need you to be consistent with me. I need you to navigate and get clarity on who you're not so you can finally get clarity on who you are. And when you do that, church, your life will go to the next level. I feel the Spirit of God in this place this morning. Play something for me right now. I don't know. Just be led by the Spirit right now. Is that, church, you need to understand, you've got to make up your mind this morning. How do I get to verse 3? How do I navigate through my old? How do I finally navigate through who I'm not? How do I deal with, because we've always talked about who we are, but we never really told people before you become who you are, you really have to overcome who you're not. That's half of why we preach what we preach as preachers on Sunday, because we're trying to preach people out of their Jacob and into their Israel. But we realize you can't get into your Israel until you finally finish up not and realize and can get up and say, that's not who I am no more. And the problem is many of us don't have clarity. We get happy about it sometimes, but clarity means there's an assurance. I know, Kate the devil, he can't show up and tell me that's who I am no more. That's clarity. I'm not wrestling with you. I'm past that. Give me something else. But you cannot make me think that's who I am. But some of us don't have that clarity. Some of us don't have that. I mean, right now, be going to church for hundreds of years, and you go do something, and you go back, oh, God don't love me. I sin. I can't go to church. I'm tucking my tail, getting in the covers. And the whole time, the devil's like, you big dummy. Fred Sanford, you big dummy. He's like, got him. And God said, listen, get clarity once and for all. You're not going to be perfect. Though the righteous man, not may, fall seven times. Stop letting the devil play with you. You're blessed, but you're going to make mistakes. Stop letting the devil make you think that mistake is you. Get up and realize, I'm blessed. That's not who I am no more. And the hardest thing for us to do is to see yourself do something and then to rise up and say, that's not me. That takes faith and confidence in God. And the process takes clarity. If you have a drug addiction or you have some type of addiction to something, it's even worse. Because you keep seeing yourself go back to it and you're like, God can't love me. And you're dealing with that. And God says, that's not, I know you have an addiction, a struggle right now, but that's not who you are. And the devil plays with you and you never get consistent with God and you're wrestling with your struggle. And God says, even if you have an addiction, you can still be blessed and have an addiction. That's why he said, I told you, blessed is the righteous man may fall seven times. I'm letting you know you can have some consistent issues in your life. But it does not mean you're not blessed. It means you're still navigating in on your way. The reason why you keep getting up and going back is because that's part of the process. That's the normalcy of this life. It really is. We start out in the wrong place, although we're blessed. We go in feet first off the diving board, not head first. We got to work through this is not me. And when you can be confident, and some people may mistake it for arrogance, that when you see yourself mess up, you just jump back up. That ain't me. I'm good and keep moving. That's clarity. That is clarity. It means now the devil will not stop me from moving in God. And God says, that's all I want. I don't need you to make yourself perfect. I got the Holy Spirit on my side. The Holy Spirit is going to help you with that. All I need you to do is just show up consistently in prayer. Show up and worship on a regular basis. Just be consistent in how you deal with me, and I'll work everything else out of your life. You can't work it out. I work it out. I just need you to be consistent with me so you can walk in the place I have for your life. Stand to your feet. I got to go. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. We've got to stop wrestling with who you're not. Come on. I just really feel the Spirit of God. I just keep seeing this snake shedding, like the skin coming off. And when you, the shedding means that the snake is coming out of that. And that's how you got to really see yourself, is you got to come out of that shedding process. You got to finally get over that foolishness. And you got to navigate every day of your life. That's not who I am. And church, when you can get that down in your life, you will always have clarity and consistency and steadiness with God. And when you get steadiness with God, you're going to look up and be, wow, I'm winning in life. Man, I'm actually winning in life. It's because you're steady. And what the devil's going to try to do is catch you slipping. And he's going to cause something to rise up and get you to follow something and fall after something. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, but you bet not walk away. You stay consistent. You stay steady. And say, that's not who I am. I ain't even tripping. And that's when you get to the place of the reward of verse 3, where God rewards you for verse 2. But before he rewards you from verse 2 to verse 3, but before he rewards you with verse 2, you got to navigate through verse 1. I need every hand lifted to heaven for just a moment. Spirit of the living God, help your people navigate. Help us to get through who we're no longer. Help us to really deal with and see and understand, God, who we're not. You literally shed your blood and died on the cross so we don't have to deal with who we're not. Help us, God, to unbecome what we were. Help us, God, to shake off. Help us not to go back and forth and be lukewarm, to be James 1:8, unstable in all our ways. Let us finally get to the point where we have clarity in our spirit. That's not who I am, no matter what I see. Because you let us know that it's the righteous man that falls. He never became unrighteous. He stayed righteous. So why are we wrestling? Are we righteous? He fell and you said he got up righteous. He went down righteous. He stayed righteous. But we wrestle
with inconsistency. Help us in this area of our life. I pray, God, by your Spirit that you move on every man, woman, child in this place today. Holy Spirit, strengthen them in the battle of their mind. Where some of them are so young in their walk with God, in their Christianity, all they see is I'm not where I see other people. God, help us not to compare ourselves with what we see. Let us understand the journey of a blessed man. It's a personal journey. And we cannot look at somebody else because really what we see is who they're trying to unbecome. And now we're trying to become who they're unbecoming. And it creates a greater struggle in us. So, Father, I pray that every person in here gets clarity today. That they begin to understand that they are blessed, they are saved, that they are prosperous, that they are healthy, they are wealthy. They are a child of the Most High God. So, God, this morning we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of your people to give them an assurance of who they're not so they can get a foundation of who they are. So we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. Listen, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in this room this morning and you're unsure of your salvation, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have accepted Jesus Christ and you found yourself wrestling with, am I saved? If you find yourself wrestling with, I messed up, and now I'm not even sure if I'm a child of God because of I'm dealing with really who I'm not. If the devil has played with you like that and you're unsure of your salvation, I need you to do one thing this morning. I want to give you clarity once and for all. Or if you've never done it, I want to bring you into a place of salvation. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Meaning that when you leave this body, whether through the rapture or through the grave, your spirit and you go to heaven.